Episode 217, BulaNetwork.com, the podcast. What matters is what happens every day. In all the executive coaching that goes on around here, which is a considerable amount of what I'm doing, at least this year, it's what matters every single day. It's just all those daily habits. And I find myself sitting in conference rooms and in offices and across from people discussing daily habits. Now, I know, you'd think it'd be something far bigger, wouldn't you? But no, that's what it is, and that's the subject today. What matters is what happens every single day. Welcome inside the Yellow Studio. My name is Randy Cantrell, your host here at BulaNetwork.com. You can find the show notes for today's episode at BulaNetwork.com/217. Daily habits. Now, your daily habits have to exceed coffee drinking. Yeah, daily habits can seem ridiculously simple. They can even seem insignificant. They can be all those autopilot things like brushing your teeth. But, you know, if you stop doing it, you soon realize, okay, not so insignificant after all. There's high value, really high value in daily brushing your teeth. And the cost of a toothbrush, the cost of toothpaste, well, that's just a fraction of what dental work might cost. It just kind of gives you some sense of how these seemingly small, insignificant things bring crazy high value. Back in the 80s, I developed an awful but delightful daily habit. I was doing what many young people is their ascending up the ladder do, working a lot of hours. A Twix bar and a Dr. Pepper as an afternoon snack every day. No, not a diet Dr. Pepper, a real Dr. Pepper. The two cookie Twix bar is 250 calories, 12 grams of fat, 24 grams of sugar. A can of Dr. Pepper is also about 250 calories. That's 500 calories every single day. That's on top of whatever I was eating. I wasn't working out. I wasn't doing any exercise. You do the math. Didn't take long before my weight was getting out of control, along with my waistline. That one little daily habit, well, okay, that one little daily habit on top of other bad daily habits, it was killing me. And so I had to stop it. I did stop it, by the way. And I stopped it years and years and years ago. But about a decade ago, I committed, well, let me rephrase this. About a decade ago, I recommitted myself to my health. I enrolled in a gym. Okay, enrolling, that's easy. Anybody can go enroll in a gym. Anybody can go buy memberships. In fact, I regularly ask the gym about the latency or whatever word you'd use to describe the members that pay every month but don't show up. It's a really high number. The real commitment's in going, and the real commitment for me was the determination to go 5 or 6 days a week. And I have remained true to that commitment, by the way. So now, instead of snacking on 500 calories within a few minutes, I can invest about an hour and burn 500 calories or more. These aren't remarkable daily habits. Well, they don't seem to be. But if you examine a daily habit based on the results produced, I think they're beyond remarkable. As I sit across from clients, it's very easy for the conversation to morph into some big thing. And I love big things. And I foster big thinking. And I foster big quantum leap kinds of things. And we all want to do some big thing. Now, we don't often do big things, but we want to do something big. And during my consulting and coaching, I've often witnessed the spectacle of people who ignore small daily habits because they think they've got to do something bigger. And even though I'm a quantum leap guy and I'm fond of big ideas and big execution, I'm practical enough to know that big progress happens because of the little things that we do consistently over time. Save 5% of your income with strong discipline. I mean, don't miss a single month. And even if you're earning $40,000 a year, you'll be saving $2,000 every year. Now, flip that around and blow just 5% of your income with reckless abandon, and you'll lose $2,000 every single year. You know, it's a little bit like my weight gain and then my renewed zeal to get fit. I made a 1,000-calorie swing by going from consuming 500 calories in a snack every day to burning 500 calories in the gym every day. And the person who saves 5% can make a $4,000 annual swing by changing their habit from spending to saving. And it's being done at a monthly rate of $167. Small steps can result in making big ground. It's a compounding effect of sorts. I mean, because that's what our daily habits do for us. Well, or that's what they do against us. Those are the habits that cause us to put on weight or take it off. And so let's talk about a few areas where we can help ourselves improve our daily habits. I want to begin with kind of a pet peeve of mine, and it's not only true of my life, but it's true of other people in my life. Electronic or online habits. Most of these habits, by the way, they're not daily. No, they're hourly. Well, they're minute by minute, and they can be destructive. They can be destructive to our productivity, to our relationships, to our health, emotional, mental, physical. Coca-Cola, not all that long ago, launched what I thought was a brilliant campaign. There's links to this over the show notes. With social media guards, and it went viral, and it garnered Coke a lot of attention. And these guards, which are branded kind of in the Coke logo, these red and white, they're like dog collars for people. And what they do is, as people are holding their phone at chest or waist height, well, you can't see your phone with these social media guards on. The campaign spoke a truth that everybody can realize, and the reason it went viral is because we can all relate to it, because we are all on our cell phones too much, whether we're texting, checking Facebook, email, playing games. Few things besides Starbucks coffee, for those of you that are coffee drinkers, I'm not, few things are as addictive as the smallest screens in our lives. I'm not a social scientist, and so I'm not capable of discerning necessarily why people are addicted to their smartphones, but I am observant. And the evidence is all around us. Our family members, our friends, strangers. There's a reason that we're seeing TV campaigns warning teens about texting and driving. And here in Dallas-Fort Worth, I regularly see people texting and driving. In fact, I'll go you one better. I don't remember the last time I was ever out driving that I didn't see multiple people texting and driving or checking their phone and driving. And I never see people eating a meal together, even in my own home, without having a smartphone in one hand at some point. I mean, some people just, they keep their phone in hand all the time. Others will keep it within reach on top of the table. It's just, we've got this magnetic pull to this thing. We can't escape it. Fitness habits. Okay, for some of you, I know I should say lack of fitness habits. And these include our eating habits too. I've already admitted to my past addiction to Twix and Dr. Pepper. Been many years since I had that habit, and it's a good thing, because if I had that habit and if I'd maintained that habit, I'd be gargantuan. After visiting an elderly gentleman in the hospital some years ago, I got in the car with my wife as we were ready to leave the hospital. We're in the parking lot, and I looked over at her. She was driving, and I said, "I don't think I can do that to you." And that wasn't entirely a fair comment because it supposes that the gentleman in question in the hospital, that he had done that to his wife, and he hadn't. He simply was a man who had suffered ill health. But, you know, that wasn't my point. I wasn't intending to throw him under the bus, as it may first seem. My point was that I knew I needed to take my health more seriously, if not for my sake, then for her sake. And that was over 10 years ago, and so I joined a gym, and I began going faithfully. And I still go. I still go about 6 days a week. Now, I'm still a carboholic. You know, I'm hooked on crackers and bread. Hey, I need to curb that. Old habits, man, they're hard to break. But I really should, and I really do need to try harder. Reading habits. I've always read a lot. But am I the only person who finds myself reading fewer books because of the ebook revolution? You know, I've got hordes of Kindle books that I haven't read yet. Yeah, okay, you can carry along tons of books on your iPad or a Kindle. Yes, it's easy, and yes, the format is very readable. No, I don't enjoy it as much as I enjoy holding a physical book. And no, I don't any longer order physical books. I don't buy physical books. Is that a mistake? I don't know, maybe. Everything in me knows rationally and logically that the electronic publishing revolution, it's here to stay. We're not going to go back to physical books. And I know that it's a really high delivery, high efficiency, I should say, in the delivery system. I mean, come on, the cost of printing versus the cost of publishing something electronically. Okay, there's no argument there. But it has had a negative impact on my daily reading habits. Time spent reading. I could grab a physical book and I could read as long as my interest was held or until I ran out of time and I needed to close the book and move on and do something else. But now I find myself, I'm not able to read. I can't read more than a handful of pages at a single setting. And these are short pages. I mean, these are Kindle versions on my iPad. And a Kindle page is not necessarily a legitimate physical page. I'm not sure if it's negatively affected my attention span or if I just haven't devoted myself enough to get into the habit of grabbing the iPad instead of a book. I can tell you one thing for me, because I'm surrounded by books here in the Yellow Studio, and I can look at a book and it can conjure up, you know, an interest, and there's nothing to look at. You know, the iPad or the Kindle, they're sitting there dormant until you grab them. And the spine of a book, the cover of a book can get my attention. The title can grab my attention, and I can remember having read something in that, and it can make me want to pick that up again. And I don't know, maybe I'm just a more tactile person than I suspected I was. You know, it's just something about having it in your hand. So we have these reading habits. We have home habits. Man, there's tons of these. There's no way I can catalog them all. But I'm thinking of some that are important to me, and these might resonate with you, especially if your home involves a husband, a wife, and children. Okay, well, my children are grown, but I know what it is to raise children. So you can consider your own list. I'll just throw a few at you. Communicate. And I'm thinking of terms like share, interact, be real, be honest, don't hold back, say I love you and mean it. I'm thinking of affection, kiss, hold hands, hug, be intimate. I'm thinking of serve, help out, contribute, be considerate, and be surprising sometimes. I'm thinking of resolve. I'm thinking of resolve conflicts. I'm thinking of resolve to love each other through thick and thin. I'm thinking resolve to hold each other accountable, to help each other, to exhibit kindness, to be financially responsible, to build a secure home. I'm thinking of train your children, to respect authority, to be responsible, to give good effort, to be tenacious, to read, to write, to play outside. That's a big one. To think for themselves, to speak clearly, to be persuasive, to be sober-minded, to be able to have a conversation with an adult. Now, the list could be much longer. Even my list could be much longer, but you get the idea. Our daily habits in our home make our home what it is. If you're unhappy with your home, then get busy making it what it should be, what you want it to be. And don't look for monumental leaps, because that's not where it's at. That's not what's going to make your home successful. It's the daily habits of kissing your wife in the morning and saying, I love you. It's the daily habits of helping her clean the kitchen. It's reading to the kids. It's hanging up your own clothes. You know, it's all those millions of things that we do sometimes without thinking about it every single day. Those things that we neglect because we just don't think about it. Those are the things. Those are the things that create our home, for good or bad. Work habits. No matter what industry you occupy, there are some universally poor habits that are recognized, I think, in every workplace. Show up late or arrive just in the nick of time. Taking 30 minutes to drink coffee, visiting with coworkers, and doing all that other stuff before you even start the day. Failing to get back to people promptly. Working too slow. Calling in sick too often. Bringing family drama to work. Always bumming money off of coworkers for lunch or snacks. And it just goes on and on. Rarely do you see people change their daily work habits. Well, I haven't seen it. Because the people who suffer these things that I've just listed and many others, boy, do they ever disappoint you by doing something different? No. I mean, they're as predictable as their habits are. And you know what? They're as predictable as those high achievers who've got different, opposing, good habits. You know who the go-to people are at work. And you know why they are the go-to people. And they are likely the go-to people because of the things that they do consistently over time, day in, day out, and you can count on it. You just know it. Many years ago, as you may or may not know, I've been involved in kind of amateur hockey. Particularly, I was in the early days, was very involved in roller hockey or inline hockey, and did some volunteer work with USA Hockey. In fact, USA Hockey had a division called USA Hockey Inline. And I met a lot of people along the way. And I remember when I first began to really interact with some minor league professional hockey players. And I would ask some of these guys who had high talent. Okay, these were guys who, when they were on their team back home as kids, they were the best, right? They were the best of the best. And occasionally I'd run across one of these guys that they might have been able to have played a game or two at the NHL level, but most of them, they had just languished, been living on a bus, you know, playing minor league hockey. And I remember asking a number of them, what's the difference? And to a man, here's what they all said. The guys at the NHL level, the guys at the major league level, they can play at that high level, that major league level, they can play at that level consistently. They can do it night in and night out. We can't. We can play at that level sometimes. We just can't play at that level all the time. And if we could play at that level all the time, that's where we'd be. We'd be at the major league level. And that's always stuck with me. And so it is, I think, in the workplace with the go-to people, the high achievers versus the others, the average Joe or even the sluggard. Oh, they might be able to do great work once in a while, but they don't do it consistently. You can't count on them to do it day in, day out. You know, somewhere in their life, the slugs developed their bad habits. And without some dramatic catalyst to influence change, usually slugs remain slugs. Now, on the flip side, high achievers, well, they too develop their habits for success. And over time, they can lean toward complacency. We sometimes see high achievers just grow indifferent and complacent if they're not careful. But typically, high achievers do things every day that set them apart from everybody else. So what does all this mean? It's not the big things that make us who we are. Big things don't build our personal habits. They don't build our home habits. They don't build our work habits. Yes, big things happen to us, and sometimes we accomplish some big things. We fall in love. We get married. We have children. We get a job. Hey, we get a better job. We buy a house. We get a new car. We buy a new, bigger house. All of these are really big events in our lives, but yet our lives are mostly determined not by our big house or our big car, but our lives are determined by all these little mini things that we have done every single day. We're who we are because of the things that we consistently do. And so instead of concentrating on big things that, well, instead of concentrating on big things, we'd likely be much better served if we more closely examined all of our little daily habits. Now, this is not an easy task, and it's not an easy task for many reasons, none of the least of which is many of these things happen on autopilot, and it's hard for us to notice these things that are mostly unnoticeable. Well, okay, others might notice them, but it's much tougher for us to see them in ourselves. So I want to give you a few tips that may help, and I'm going to give you a warning straight up. These are not easy. These are really, really difficult, but you can do them. Number one, start with the things you already know you'd like to change. The things that you know right now, in an instant, you'd like to change, you'd like to improve. Most people will readily admit that they'd like to stop something or they'd like to start something. So make a list. What are those things? Identify those things. Write them down. Open up a Word document. I don't care how you catalog them, but make a list. Make a list of the things right now that you know you'd like to change. You don't even have to think about it. You already know what they are. It could be something as simple but as important as kissing your wife goodbye when you leave for work every morning. It could be something as, well, it could be something more difficult. It could be walking 10,000 steps every day, and you're not accustomed to walking 3,000. Okay, that's going to take a lot more effort. These are things that are already top of mind. And so I want you to write them down until you can't think of any more. These ought to be things that just leap to your mind. These are not things that you have to go through a bunch of mental gymnastics to remember or to think about. These are top of mind things. So start there. Number two, now I want you to move on to the things that others will value most. I am not suggesting that you surrender your entire life to do what everybody else wants you to do. But I do want you to focus on the people who matter. I mean, for starters, begin with the people that you love. Then migrate to the people that are vital to your career. Maybe there are other people, too, in some other circle. These are the people who really matter to you. These are the important people in your life. These are the most important people in your life. What can you do to increase your value to them? How can you better serve them? You know, for instance, a wife may suggest to her husband that she could really use some help with the housekeeping. And if only he'd vacuum a little bit and pick up after himself, it'd really help her out. Is that you? Then are you going to do it? You should. Commit yourself to the people. This is really important. I don't want this to get past you. Commit yourself to the people. Don't fret about the daily habits. Think about the people that you'll be serving and how your actions are going to positively impact their lives. Number three. All right, you ready? Because now you're going to need to dig deep. You're going to need to dig deep, and you're going to need to think about the things that you need to change, the things that you want to change. These are different than number one. These are not top of mind. These are things that you've really got to think about. And this is where the heavy lifting happens. Because frankly, up to this point, we've been using light weights. Okay, well, now it's time to, we're going to add more plates to the bar. And it's going to tax our muscles. But I promise you, it's going to be worth it. If you aren't who you most want to be, now it's time to get busy becoming that person. Now, I'll tell you that right here, I sometimes lose people. I'm sad by it, but I admit it. I sometimes lose people right here. Because my encouragement is to aim for your ideal. Aim for your ideal. Why not? Why not aim for your ideal? Listen, daily habits are the process to get you where you want to go. I do another podcast over at Leaning Toward Wisdom, leaningtowardwisdom.com. And I did a podcast, I think it was episode 4010. And I did a rather lengthy blog post to match it. And I'll put links to this over in the show notes about the process and the importance of the process. That Michaela Schifrin, that downhill slalom women's, well, she's a world champion and she's an Olympic champion too. And she's what, 18? Yeah, the process. She got there by the process. Nick Saban of University of Alabama football team. I cited him in that. It was a podcast on post that I did back in January of this year. Sometimes the tough part is to not get wrapped up in the outcome or in that final result, because it's going to take time. And so your patience is going to, well, in some cases, your patience is going to wear thin, especially if you obsess too much about the destination. I mean, for instance, if you're a guy and you want to reduce your waist size from a 40 to a 36, it's not going to happen overnight. It's going to be the result of daily habits that are repeated over time. And you know how often? It's going to happen a quarter of an inch at a time. It's going to take time. And you're going to be tempted to defeat yourself before you ever start. And I think it may be why it's so difficult for some people to embrace aiming for the ideal. Because, well, we like to defeat ourselves and we like to talk to ourselves and say things like, I'm never going to be able to do this. No, that's the talk of defeatists. Well, you're not going to join their ranks, are you? You're not going to be a defeatist. Instead, what I want you to say is, it won't be easy, but I know I can do it. I know I can do it. So now here in step three, you're going to make your list and you're going to spend some time with this list. And you're going to put it in order of importance and you're going to work it and then you're going to rework it and you're going to do your best to go from the most important to the least important. And so now, here at step three, you really are now armed with one master list that is really three lists. And it may not be a very long list. Length of the list is unimportant. But it's really going to be three lists that you've compiled into this single master list. And it's going to be in order of what matters to you most. A, you're going to have taken into account those things that you want to change that are top of mind. You instantly know, hey, I want to do this, or I need to do this. B, you then migrated to the things that you know will help serve the people that are most important to you. Those people that you love, those people that you care about, these people that are important in your life. And then in this last step, you've dug deep to incorporate now things that deep down, after you've given it careful thought and consideration, you know you need to change these things. And you know you want to change some other things. So now, before we leave step three and move on, I want you to go through this list and I want you to make two distinctions between all these items. So you've got your master list and you've got it ranked from most important to least important. I want you to make two distinctions between all of these items, only two. I don't want you to break it down more than two. And you can use any kind of designation that you want. I prefer some terms that will depict the item. I'll give you two of my favorites, sprint and marathon. Sprint and marathon. Sprints are fast, quick. Marathons take time. So my sprint items are going to be the ones that I know I can implement and execute that right now. Okay. I just need to do it. I just need to get busy on it. Marathon items, on the other hand, are items that I know I can begin right now, but I also know I'm going to have to plan and prepare and train. And these are going to be tougher. I'm going to have to work harder at these, and I'm going to have to be more patient with these. I don't run marathons, but I am told that a marathon is 26 miles and 385 yards. Obviously run in a single event. I can run 26 miles and 385 yards over the course of a week. You know, I mean, I can do it 4 miles at a time. I've never run one, but I know that you can't just enter a race and run it without working toward it. And that's how these marathon items on our list are. You can start them today, but you just have to realize it's a process and it's going to take some time. But if you stay with it and if you keep working on it, before long, you're going to find you've got the endurance and the training. You're ready to run the marathon. So I'm going to tell you, use whatever terms work for you. Mine are sprint, marathon. Okay, number four. It's go time. It's go time. It's time to create your strategies. And I'm going to warn you what is going to go wrong in this step. You're going to think that you have to do every single item on your list, and you're going to think that you have to do them all at the same time. And the result is you're not even going to get out of the starting blocks, because it's going to, I don't care if your list is short, it's just going to seem daunting. And like a rocket that's trying to escape the gravitational pull of the earth, you're going to feel the urge to return to your old norm. You're going to want to just give up and just go back to doing what you've always done, as bad as it may be and as unfulfilling as it may be. If you give in to that urge, you're going to crash just like a rocket does. But if you resist it, with tenacity and determination, then you can soar, and you can soar to new heights you've never been to. Crash or soar. There you go. There's your two choices. Which do you want? Crash or soar? Now, your sprint items, they shouldn't demand sophisticated, complex strategies. I mean, your sprint items ought to be the items that you can dive right in, take off running at full speed. You can incorporate those into your life. And your two biggest challenges to sprint items is it's getting started and sticking with it. And if you'll commit to those two things, you'll have conquered those items. So a husband says, you know, I want to kiss my wife goodbye, and I want to kiss my wife hello, and I want to do that every day. Okay, then your biggest hurdle is start. So today, start. And do it again tomorrow. So your problem is going to be starting it, and then your other problem is going to be sticking with it. And if you'll commit to those two things, you know what's going to happen? You're going to kiss your wife goodbye every morning, and you're going to kiss her hello every evening. It's going to be part of your daily habit. A good habit, a great habit. The marathon items, okay, these are going to require some planning. They're going to demand some strategy. And some are going to demand more than others. I want you to be careful. I want you to be really careful with the very heavy items. I mean, for instance, I've known people who they had a marathon goal of losing 100 pounds and tried to go it alone. No doctor supervision, no nothing. Big mistake. Big mistake. Don't tackle something that significant without proper guidance. You can still do it. You just need help. You need professional help in a case like that to have a good strategy. The key to marathon items is to not get ahead of yourself. You know, it's not important that you map out every single step. I mean, for the person that may think, you know, man, I want to lose 100 pounds, and maybe they should, maybe they need to, and they go to a doctor and they decide, you know, I want to map out every single step. I doubt very seriously that the doctor is going to advise you to do that, because frankly, you can't. What you can do is devise this overall strategy and get started today. But we want to get ahead of ourselves. listen, it's not important that you know every single step to get started. You can get started by devising your first few steps, and all you need is a couple. This is where people really get hung up and they defeat themselves by over-planning and over-preparing and never starting. If I want to lose 100 pounds and I know that I'm eating Twix and Dr. Peppers all day, every day, okay, I go to the doctor and, yeah, he's probably going to run some blood work and some other stuff. Well, I got to squeeze some calories and I got to squeeze some sugar out of my diet. I can start that today. That doesn't mean that I'm going to go to the gym and I'm going to work out 2 hours day one. I'm in no condition to do that. I might be later on, but that's not step one. Big mistake. Just don't do that. Just have a couple of steps and you'll add steps. You'll add steps as you go. And you'll add them in advance to getting to them. You won't add them right when you get to them. You'll know what they are ahead of time, but you don't need to be more than a couple of steps ahead. You know, the beginner who wants to run a marathon likely runs 1 mile before they run five. And then they run 5 miles in a stretch before they ever run 10. And by consistently adding miles, they build up their endurance. And eventually they're running over 26 miles. And they know they can run a marathon because they've done it in training. Your marathon items are going to work the exact same way. Just run your first mile. Run your first mile now. Run your first mile sooner than later. Maybe you've got to walk your first mile. That's okay. Walk your first mile. Work your way up to running your first mile. Okay, now add another quarter mile to it. Now add another half a mile to it. Get going. Okay, wait a minute. This sure sounds like a ridiculous amount of work. It is. It's hard work. And that's why only extraordinary people do this kind of work. This is why only the high achievers are willing to invest this kind of effort into their own lives. Because if it were easy, everybody would do it. Well, okay. You're not everybody. Well, are you? I don't think you're everybody. I'm sure not everybody. We're living in a day and age where people are so overcome and ate up with comparing themselves to other people. And whether it's a podcast or whether it's a blog or whether it's social media and all the comparisons and all of the time that's wasted in doing anything but thinking about our lives and thinking about what we could do, we are so busy consuming the consumption that is being created by other people that we just don't know ourselves. We just don't spend enough time with ourselves. We're not thinking enough, seems to me. We're certainly not thinking enough about who we are, who we want to be, why we are who we are, and why we're not everything we hoped we'd be. You know why? Because what matters is what happens every day. And what happens every day is we blindly, faithfully, put one foot in front of the other without thinking about it. We get on Facebook and we waste time and we read blog after blog after blog that basically say the same things over and over, and we're so smitten with the social media gurus and the celebrities of our day. And meanwhile, life is happening. And our life isn't always what we want it to be because, well, we've invested our time and our effort and our energy in the lives of other people. Sometimes complete strangers, people that we only know online. We've not invested in our own life. We've not invested with the people that live under our roof. Big mistake. What happens every day is what makes you who you are. So if you want to be somebody better, and don't we all, then we need to do some things differently. Now, maybe your list is long. Maybe mine's longer. Doesn't matter. It's our life. We got to be making an investment in our life. We got to take a responsibility for our life. It's not going to get better on its own. The mere passage of time is not going to make us better. It's not going to make us wiser, smarter. So take the time. Invest in yourself. That's the best investment you can make. Hey, there you go. I thank you for listening. I appreciate you very, very much. I'm working on rebranding the podcast. Hey, if you want to help me, just go to BulaNetwork.com/help me. BulaNetwork.com/HELPME if you want to help me. Little short survey, you can help me. I'm going to narrow the focus here and I'm going to kind of rebrand some things, which I need to do. I kind of need to do. All kinds of ways to connect with me over at the website, Facebook, Google Plus, Instagram, you name it, I'm there. I'm everywhere. Well, not really. It just looks like I am. Subscribe to the podcast. I would greatly appreciate it. I'll tell you what I would appreciate as much as anything. That's just tell somebody. Spread the word. Tell a friend. My name is Randy Cantrell. City of origin is Dallas, Fort Worth, Texas. This is the Yellow Studio.